Today is February 23rd, 2020, and you are listening to Project Geospatial. I'm Andrea Simmons, bringing you your geospatial news. As a reminder, all articles referenced are linked in our show notes. Let's get started. In their latest press release, Clio Space announced they secured a $3.1 million loan agreement with Dubai Family Office. CEO of Clio Space, Andy Bauer, said, "The loan agreement provides Clios with working capital to progress the development of our second cluster of satellites while we await revenues from our scouting mission satellites. Luxembourg has a successful economic partnership with the UAE, developed over the past decades. This collaboration provides Luxembourg-based organizations operating the space sector, such as Clio Space, with access to investment and financing opportunities." To summarize, this new financing will help Clio's fund its second cluster of satellites and ensure the company is well-funded, while waiting for revenues from early adopter contracts. Clio's will generate its first revenues after the launch of its first satellite cluster, Scouting Mission, from Chennai, India, in the coming weeks. This initial satellite cluster is the foundation of a larger constellation, which will geolocate radio frequency transmissions to provide global activity-based intelligence irrespective of the presence of positioning systems, unclear imagery, and targets out of patrol range. On February 19th, the Geospatial Innovation Center had a soft opening in St. Louis. The center is at the T-Rex, a nonprofit technology startup incubator, providing early-stage entrepreneurs with low-cost and flexible enterprise space, while serving the region with community collaboration. The T-Rex was founded in 2011 and is the home to over 215 startups. The effort is being led by Mark Tegenhorst, who is a 33-year veteran of research and innovation for the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. We had the pleasure of interviewing Mark back in October.
T-Rex is it's an early-stage startup incubator and innovation center. Focused on those early stage startups, developing them in order to give back to the economic vitality of the region. So within GeoSaurus, we'd like to accomplish three things. One, we'd like to create an environment where we foster innovation and entrepreneurial spirit for early stage startups and to benefit the community. We also want to create a talent pipeline for geospatial expertise. One of the things that this whole region is driving is to be a center for excellence for geospatial technology. And so in order to do that, we have to develop talent and we have to reach the middle school and high school students because they'll be the ones that will be asked to sustain this region as a geospatial center of excellence. And then the final thing is we're really looking to connect the geospatial community, create connectivity where in the past maybe they're considered non-traditional partnerships. So connections across industry, academia, the military and government. So really if we can connect that geospatial, be that environment where we're the connective tissue to the geospatial environment. That's what we're looking to do within GeoSaurus.
We look forward to observing the continued growth of St. Louis into a major geospatial technology hub in the industry. With a post from Maxar on LinkedIn, we learned a little more about their upcoming WorldView Legion satellites. The first phase of their new constellation will consist of six high-resolution satellites that significantly increases the capacity and revisit rate. Legion will have a revisit rate of up to 15 times a day in middle latitude areas, triple capacity of 30 centimeter imagery, and triple coverage over high demand regions. Legion is scheduled to launch sometime in 2021 and will complement Maxar's existing active inventory, WorldView 1, 2, and 3, plus GeoEye 1 and RadarSat 2. With the spread of the coronavirus continuing to grow globally, we thought it time to make note of the best maps for understanding the spread and severity of the disease. There are maps that represent the data in a way that makes the disease look like it's beyond our control, while others give a more realistic perspective. The first map we would like to highlight comes from the New York Times, which does a great job at highlighting regions of the infected areas. Their maps page is static but updated, with the global map revealing the exact numbers per country that have been infected. However, it only shows detailed breakouts of China and the United States. The New York Times receives their data from the Center for Systems Science and Engineering at Johns Hopkins University, the National Health Commission of the People's Republic of China, and local governments. We would like to highlight an interactive map from the Center for Systems Science and Engineering at Johns Hopkins, which shows the best perspective of the state of the coronavirus. Their map allows users to view specific regions of the world where the virus has spread, not just identifying a specific country exposed as other static maps would do. This map is hosted by ArcGIS Online. Both maps are in our show notes, and we recommend you check them out. Thanks for listening to geospatial news from around the industry. From Project Geospatial, this is Andrea Simmons signing off.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast focused on the geospatial industry, discussing geospatial news, best practices, and having guest speakers on related to the latest industry projects. You can contribute to our continued operation through anchor.fm/projectgeo/support and www.patreon.com/projectgeospatial. Your contribution keeps our website running and funds our participation to cover conferences on various events beyond the Geo and Symposium. If you represent a company in the industry and would like to talk about your product or service on the show, please reach out to us. Thanks for listening. You can find out all of our information on projectgeospatial.com.